Well, it's good to be back this morning, to be with you guys. I just thought 13th of October, I thought I recognised that day. I recognise it. I don't know what that date was. And apparently it worked out. It's exactly 6 years to the day since they announced I was leaving Silverdale. So some of you were like, yes, God, 7 years of praying. Some of you might have been sad, but I think it might be more rejoicing. But it's great to be back with you guys this morning. For those who don't know me, I'm very aware. A lot of new faces. I was here once in a time. I was a youth pastor, did worship and kids stuff here as well for nearly 7 years. But I'm now, I suppose I'm pastor at Burson Milan, but I like to say more of a house husband, pastor fitting in, and part-time pastor leading Burson Milan. I spend the rest of the time chasing after my two girls, being dad's taxi and everything else, and trying to do a bit of running and other stuff in between. But Pastor Edwin phoned me up last week, and he just said to me, Jim, any chance he's speaking today? And he said something really bad to me, and it's this. He said, share whatever's on your heart. I went home to my wife, and I said, Naomi, do you want to share what's on my heart? She goes, Jim, you're a grumpy old man, so be careful how you phrase it. So I hope today I'm not going to come across as a judgment or anything else. Even before then, a little bit, I've started to get I call it a holy discontentment. In my life, I grew up in church. I grew up in huge churches in South Africa before we came to England. Then I went to Methodist Church in England. The less to say about that, the better at times. And then I ended up becoming a pastor. And my prayer to God was this. God, what is the point of church? I'm sure none of you ever think that, because you guys have got a really good church. You guys have got good pastors. It's great. But as a pastor, I was saying, God, what is the reason for this, for church? And in fact, I actually turned up to God one time and I said, God, can I just say this to you? If church is just about babysitting people, could you at least let me become a teacher instead? Okay. Similar sort of gifts and I get paid more money. Okay. And I feel like it's worth it. And this thought in my head kept going on about what is the point of church. And so for the last 6 years, I've been on a journey, sort of investigating it, falling in love with church, falling out of love with church, but staying in love with Jesus, thank goodness, all the way through. And I sense in my holy discontentment, it's not just me, but other folk as well, that God is wanting to do something in the church in the UK. Now, when I say that, everyone goes, amen. But guys, I've got members. Iran is the fastest growing church in the world at the moment. China has the fastest growing church in the world at the moment. But in Iran, I've got Christians in my church who've given up everything for following Jesus. And when the one girl was raped, I've had a couple of people who end up being raped for following Jesus. And I just think to myself, wow, in the UK, we've become so comfortable. So I told my wife, told you I'm a bit grumpy. And I have a story in my church. I have a guy who came in. We prayed for some Stokies to become Christians. And we're fortunate we had a few Stokies come into church. Unfortunately, one of them does support Stoke City, the only one in our church. So I'm still praying for him. And he came in, a really nervous guy. He sits down, really quiet. I don't know why he walked in. He just said, just felt like walking in one day. So I'm like, okay. And we start chatting. And he starts, last week, I thought he's going to fly away. Just worshiping God. His life has been transformed by Jesus. His background, he's now writing songs. I don't know if he can sing or not, but he's writing words about how great God is. And it's incredible. And whenever there's evangelism, I say, guys, we're going to go out, we're going to share Jesus, we do something. He's the first person to volunteer. And I shared this story with a friend of mine from a church who's more affluent the other day. And the pastor turned around and just shared us. I said, this is what happened to this guy in my church. His life has been turned around by Jesus, and it is incredible. I said, all he wants to do is serve and worship Jesus. And my friend goes, oh, Jim, it's right for you. He's from a wealthy area. He said, we like it. It's a bit different for our community. I said, what do you mean it's a bit different for your community? He goes, well, when people become Christians, Jesus becomes an add-on. I went, what? I felt like rebuking him in the name of Jesus, but my wife was sitting next to me. She said, Jim, don't you dare. And those words have stuck with my head for a while now, that Jesus was an add-on. And it really challenged me. Because one guy, Craig Rochelle, he talks about Christian atheists, about churches where we talk about being Christian, and we say we're Christian by name, but yet we act like atheists throughout the rest of the week. And it challenged me in my heart, is Jesus an add-on, or is he the center of my life for following? Does Jesus fit around my lifestyle, or do I fit around what Jesus wants for me? And guys, I'm not going to preach on this verse, but I just feel really important to share. I prayed about this week about what to share on. But one verse, slightly different to what I shared, sharing today, is this. And I believe it's a word for someone today, and you'll know if it's for you or not. So it's not if it's not applied to you, ignore it. But there's someone here, you've been praying to God and maybe challenging you about something, and God says to you today, be holy as I am holy. And there's maybe someone whose this thought has been going around their head about following God, and God just wants to say to you today, be holy as I am holy. And guys, I just believe that as a church in the UK, God is just doing something, going to do something and stir us up. But as he does something to stir us up, it's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be challenging. I saw this on Facebook not long ago, or Instagram, and it says an American pastor. He says that he's talking to an Asian pastor. He says this, the American pastor says to the Asian pastor, what do you do about lukewarm Christians? And the Asian pastor replies, please understand, following Christ means we can no longer have our land, our kids, can't go to the government schools, and we're ostracized from our village. There's no lukewarm Christians in my country. And I just believe God, I'm not pro-persecution at all, so not that. But I think as a church, God is stirring us up as a nation and with us. And he's saying, guys, it's time to step up a level. It's time to go deeper with him and no longer allow ourselves to fit around, get Jesus to fit around how we want our life. Instead, we need to be fitting around what he wants. And Pete Scazzario, one of my favorite authors, he wrote this. He says, most Christians talk about prayer but don't pray. Most believe in the Bible as the word of God, but have a little idea of what it says. I put a lot of Bible verses on Facebook, and my one friend went, why do you put so many verses on Facebook? And I said, the reason I do that is I want my congregation to read the Bible at least once a day. And if it's on my Facebook wall, at least it's once. But guys, it's a scary truth. And when I first read that, I thought, whatever. But it's a lot of truth there. And I believe that as Christians, Jesus wants us to be 100% sold out disciples for him. Following him, walking in his footsteps, following what he wanted for his life. And the thing that's I want to share today, and the main message, my theme is this. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. If Pastor Edwin has ever used this saying, I was at the same conference as him when he first heard it, okay? But a different message. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. You know, I just want to share a little bit now just about what it means just to follow Jesus, to be his disciples. Because in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 19, one of the most famous passages in the New Testament, Jesus said this. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new things, these new disciples, to obey all that I have given you. I love the emphasis here on go. I love coming to Silverdale. I've been to a lot of more traditional churches recently. And they always say to me, Jim, how do we get more people into church? And I say, have you invited anyone to church? No. Might be a good start, isn't it? And Jesus says here, his emphasis is go. It's an active word. It wasn't a one-off process. He says, go out and make disciples of all nations. Now, the one bit is sometimes I get really confused. And when I was a younger Christian, I thought it said this. I thought Jesus says, go and make converts. Go and have people putting their hands up and saying yes, and they move on to the next person. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, go and make disciples of all nations. And at the center of our church as Christians, at the center of our following Jesus, is about making disciples. John Piper phrased it beautifully. He said this, Every Christian should be helping unbelievers. Every Christian should be helping unbelievers become believers by showing them Christ. That is making a disciple. And every Christian should be helping other believers to grow to more and more maturity. That is making a disciple. The Iranian church recently said this, a leader out in Iran, they said, if you plant churches, you might make disciples, but if you make disciples, you will plant churches. I'm like, wow, isn't that great? If you plant churches, you might make disciples, but if you make disciples, you will plant churches. And I believe that God is wanting to say to us, you know, as churches across this country and across this area, that growing as a disciple and making a disciple is not Pastor Edwin or Pastor Peter's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities together. It's all of our responsibilities to grow in our faith, to grow and to get closer and closer to Jesus. I want to talk today just about what it means as individuals now to be. As I shared 6 years ago, when I left here, I was a full-time pastor. I quite enjoyed it. Naomi worked as a part-time teacher. We swapped our roles. Claire talks about trying to find time when you've got children. Oh my goodness. My girls are always really, really intense. And I had to find a new way. Every time in our life, I always kept thinking to myself, Jim, the day that your children go to school, it is going to be like freedom, jumping and dancing. And this time last year, I managed to pass Bethany to school. And I remember Bethany was very excited one day, and it happened to me on a day off, and it was my birthday, and she told all the teachers, she goes, it's my daddy's birthday today, it's my daddy's birthday. And the teachers went to me, did you have a good birthday? And I said, you don't know how great my birthday is. They said, what do you mean? I said, I gave you both my children today, and my wife's at work. And I thought, when my kids go to school, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be amazing because I'm going to have all this time. My wife then went and got a new puppy. My time disappeared. We started new stuff at church. My time disappeared. I'm now busier now than I was back then. And I kept saying, one day soon, I'm going to have more time to spend with Jesus or more time to spend to myself. That's happened. But the first thing we need to do as disciples is this. We need to be with Jesus. And I loved Claire's honesty at the beginning of the service there about her battles to find time with Jesus. But can I tell you something? Claire's working at finding time with Jesus. Do you know how important that is? Because sometimes we use so many excuses about why we don't spend time with Jesus. And we say, oh, I'm this, I've got that on, I'm busy, etc. A lot often, actually, you know what busyness is? We've banned the word busyness in my house. Busyness just means you've overcommitted on something. If you're busy, often you're overcommitted on something. And as Christians, if we want to be transformed by Jesus and become the people who Jesus wants us to be, we need to spend time with Jesus. Because the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we'll become like him. When I met Naomi, my wife, she's a vegetarian. I was brought up on a meat farm. My mum spent every day until she died praying that Naomi would start eating meat. Her prayers have never been answered. She's still waiting and waiting and waiting. And but the thing is, when I first met Naomi, I remember we got married. I was working here. And I remember here at times, I used to have to run out from here, drive down to Morrison's. I was craving meat so badly that I would go and buy a pack of steak. I would then go and some mushrooms. I would go home. I would fry the steak and mushrooms, and I wouldn't even have a chance to get on the plate. I would eat it straight out the frying pan because I was so desperate to eat meat because I wanted meat. I needed meat. I was just craving it. And a few weeks ago, I ended up going on a run of barbecues. And we had meat after meat after meat. Do you know what I turned around and said to my wife? I said, Naomi, I need a week off meat. I've eaten too much meat recently. Because the longer I've spent with Naomi, the more I've become like her. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. Can I ask you a question this morning? When was the last time you spent quality time with Jesus? Either reading your Bible, listening to him, or worshiping him by yourself. Don't answer this question, okay? Don't answer out loud, just answer it to yourself. When was the last time you spent quality time with Jesus, worshiping him? Intentionally spending time with him. You know, the first disciples, they spent a lot of time with Jesus, not just the 12 disciples, but the other followers too. And this is a verse that I noticed. This is John the Baptist's followers are talking to John the Baptist, and they're talking about Jesus, and they're saying to John the Baptist, say this, they said, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, is Jesus. Look, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." And the bit that jumped out to me is this. Everyone is going to him. You know, you have a choice about whether you spend time with Jesus. You have a choice about whether you go to be with Jesus and spend time with him. It's your choice. There's nothing you can force. And often I found when I used to say to myself, "Jim, oh, you've just got no time to spend with Jesus." Funnily enough, I didn't have time to spend with Jesus, but I had time to still sit out and watch a show on Netflix for 25 minutes before I went to bed. And it really, really challenged me. And someone else once said to me this, they said, when I was talking to them, they said, "Jim, you show someone how important you are by the time that you spend with them." So if we want to be followers of Jesus or 100% sold out for Jesus, want to see Jesus transform our world, do you know where it's going to start? It's going to start by spending time with Jesus, isn't it? Does anyone agree with me? There's a few of you, good. A few of you keep your hands down, okay? Guys, this is real common sense, but I have to remind myself about this quite often. Because I won't go through my schedule. I'm not in a competition with anyone here, but my schedule is hectic at times. But the thing I've learned is this. The more busy I get, the more time I need with Jesus. And the other bit that I just noticed from this verse is this. Those guys went to Jesus. John was a messenger of Jesus. He was a messenger proclaiming that Jesus was coming. A lot of John's followers went to Jesus. They didn't just rely on the messenger. They actually went to the source. And guys, I want to challenge you today. You can't rely on your wife's faith, your husband's faith, your pastor's faith, your friend's faith, your parents' faith. You can't rely on everyone else spending time with Jesus and you getting a little bit of it from them. You need to go and spend time with Jesus by yourself. You need to make that effort with him. And I love older Christians. I love spending time with Christians who've gone before. They've gone before and they've spent time with him. And the thing I've learned this is the Christians who have gone on further than anyone else has ever gone on their faith, the ones who don't get lukewarm and cold, are the ones who spend time with Jesus and make Jesus their priority every single day. Has anyone else noticed that? It is so important. If you want to see Jesus move in your life, guys, start spending time with him. If you want to grow as a disciple, start spending time with him. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. And the next thing is, you know, when we start spending time with Jesus, when we start spending time trying to listen to him, worshiping him, reading the word, listening for what he has to say to us, we start becoming like Jesus. It's one of those processes. You know, my daughter, Sophia, she's with me this morning and she's gone upstairs. She spends so much time with her dad, she even dresses like her dad. I'm really praying for her still. Bethany wants to dress as Sophia, won't be seen dead in a dress. What I do with one daughter, I threaten her, and with Sophia, I used to say, "If you're naughty, I'm going to put you in a dress tomorrow." "No, Daddy, no." My younger daughter, I say, "If you're naughty, I'm going to bin all your dresses." "No, Daddy, no." And it's the opposite. But she spends time with me, and the more time that Sophia spends with me, the more she dresses like me. We got to the stage a couple of weeks ago in church. We had exactly the same jeans on and exactly the same blue shirt on. I'm like, "Sophia, you're my daughter, not my son." But the more you spend, the more you become like somebody. And you know what? It's really hard, but we can seek God. We can do, when we spend time with him, that's when we become like Jesus. And the good news about it is that we're not in this all by ourselves. This is what 1 Peter 1:2 says, "God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we've been talking a lot about this in our church. I'm quite fortunate in Burslem that I have a lot of first-generation Christians. And the reason I say that's really fortunate is they don't compare you to any other pastor because you're the only pastor they've ever known. So you don't get that, well, would you know what Pastor Williams was like? He did this many years ago. He's that much better. Or I remember hearing about Pastor Hugh Graham. I'm like, Jim, is he as good as Hugh Graham yet? Or Pastor Edwin, anyone else? I don't have that problem, which is so nice and refreshing, actually. And one of them pointed out this, is we're trying to help people actually become more like Jesus. Because people come with a lot of baggage and a lot of issues. And what we were talking about, how do you grow as a disciple? And one of my leaders said something that was really profound. They said this, they said, Jim, what helped me become more and more like Jesus was the Holy Spirit working in my life and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They said, don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love the fact that on our discipleship journey, we may spend time with Jesus, but we become more like Jesus through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. However, we can stop that change happening. If we don't spend time with Jesus, we're not likely to become like him. Jesus was the holiest man to have ever lived. We are called to be holy like him. I love the fact that we're not left to follow Jesus by ourselves. But Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to become more like him. And as a Christian, I remember I used to think being a good Christian was about being nice. Is anyone else? Of being a nice person, being a good person, being trying to seek good things. And then I've got an optician who's a Muslim. And every time I go in for a 15-minute optician, and normally we come out an hour later because he's always quizzing me about Jesus and going for it. And I came out the session with this Muslim one day, and I worked out this, that there's only one difference between the two of us. That is Jesus and the Holy Spirit working through my life. If the church was just about being nice, if being a Christian was just about being nice, guys, we would have conquered the world already, wouldn't we? But it's not. We're called not to be nice people. We're not called just to be people who follow Jesus' rules. We're called to be people who are sold out following Jesus 110%. This is the challenge bit I want to get to quickly. Jesus said this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Is there any bits of Jesus you don't like sometimes? The bits he says. I want to give you the next verse. This has challenged me so much the last couple of months. Jesus says this, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You ever noticed that verse before? It's about literally giving up everything and following Jesus and putting Jesus as number one in our lives. Guys, I don't like preaching this stuff all the time because I've got my priorities. You know, when I was a young Christian, when I came to Silverdale, I was absolutely bonkers when I was 21. We had planned, me and Naomi took out the rent, okay, planned to take the house up in Parkside, put the deposit down, everything else. We didn't have the money to pay for it. And we were like, God, wherever you take us, you're going to take us. We're going to give up everything and follow you. The only thing we had was an overdraft, okay, in our bank account. It was so easy to follow Jesus. Do you know the thing I'm finding hardest now? We've now got a mortgage, and Amy's got a really, really good job. We've got a family. We've got other commitments now. Following Jesus has become a lot harder. It was so easy when I had an overdraft, and that was it. But now that God's blessed us and supported us and helped us, following Jesus is so much harder than it ever was before. You know, I want to become like Jesus. I want to pray for people and see the sick come, what do you call it? Be healed. That's the word I'm after. I want to be able to walk around giving words of knowledge. I want to share evangelism. I want to see God move in great ways. And Jesus really challenged me earlier this year. He said, Jim, it all comes back to this verse. He says, it's all right having the nice stuff, but you've got to do the hard work before. My daughter recently, she turned around and she said to me, she was breaking stuff in the house. I sound like my mum sometimes. I went, Sophia, where do you think we're going to pay for that? And I threatened her. I said, I'm going to sell all of your Lego if you break one more thing in this house. secretly, I'm never going to sell a Lego because I'll play with it myself and pretend I have afterwards. Then we had this conversation, and she goes to me, it's all right, Dad. Mum will work and get some more money for it. It's fine. You know, there's times we don't really do smacking in our house. I thought, like, smacking. I thought, you cheeky little. And guys, how many of us are like that with Jesus? How many of us are like that with Jesus? How many of us are saying, Jesus, please could you bless me with a good job? Please could you bless me with lots of money? Please could you bless my family? Please can you do this? Please can you do that? And Jesus is almost going, and what are you going to do for me? Because he said, be my, make disciples, not converts. He says, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, he said, you are not worthy of me. Guys, that's strong words. That is not a little word. That's what I told you. Pastor Edmund shouldn't have said, speak what's on your heart. But guys, I'm finding this really challenging. I'm finding it really challenging. You know, take up your cross and follow me. Guys, I must become less and he must become greater. I've had the privilege of sharing in some churches recently, and there's sometimes I can go in and I've seen God move and I've felt like I'm Superman. I've had a few times that I've had words of knowledge this year that have been so exact, it's been absolutely bonkers. And I'm there going, I'm God's man. Yes, that's me. You know, our church general superintendent honored us a few times this year in different places, Chris Cartwright, and I got a little bit, yeah, that's me, look at me. And every time I go like that, God gives me a slap down and says, Jim, you are nothing without me. And every time I desire that God uses me, it's too often nothing happens. If I want him to use me so I look good, then nothing happens. But when I just want to promote him, stuff happens. He must become greater. I must become less. Guys, we need to become more and more like Jesus. We need to spend time with him. We need to become like him. But becoming like Jesus, there is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to following him. There is a cost to living differently. That's one word here, just something as I was preparing. The more that God has moved in my life, the more that God has had to help me deal with issues in my life. And as I'm even thinking about 6 years to where I was when I was here to where I am now, what God has done in my life has been absolutely incredible. How he's restored relationships that were completely destroyed when I was younger, all this stuff. And he's had to deal with sin in my life. Do you know the word sin? We don't like talking about it much anymore, do we? Every time I think I'm just about there as a Christian, God shows me something else. And there's something that Jesus said this, is he said in John 12, verse 24, he said, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it only remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And as I was preparing this about growing a disciple, do you know what? There's times in our lives when we become more like Jesus, when we have to let certain things in our life die. And do you know the problem with sin? Sin tastes really nice, doesn't it? Do you know the gossip? I know some of you don't gossip. You're not a gossipers at all whatsoever. I won't ask why it's about your husband. Is there anything else? But gossip's nice, isn't it? How many times on the news, I listen to Radio 5 Live. I'm at that stage in my life. I moved on from Radio 1. I'm now on Radio 5 Live. And they always talk, often it's about gossip that's been spread. And gossip is really nice, isn't it? It's sort of a little bit of, did you know what happened to that person? Ooh. Especially if you're a pastor sometimes. If there's one pastor that really irritates you and someone says something bad about them, you're like, see, I told you there was something about them. They're always a bad end. You like it sometimes. And this big sick of sin tastes nice. And when you get rid of sin, you are dying to that. You're getting rid of that. It's got to die a death. But when something dies a death, it hurts, doesn't it? And sometimes we have to allow stuff to die in our lives for Jesus to bring something new in this place. Final thing before you guys fall asleep. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. I want a bit of time to seek the Holy Spirit in a minute. Is that all right? We're going to pray into this. When we start becoming like Jesus, when we start being with him, we start becoming like him. When we start becoming like him, we start doing what he does. A couple of months ago, I was in Scotland, and I have this really bad habit. When I was at Bible college, I had a guy from Jamaica, and his name was Richard. And I used to go, "Richard!" like this every time I saw him, because he had a really strong accent. And someone turned around and said, "Jim," one day, they said, "Jim, if you mimic someone like him..." But I didn't mean to mimic him, it's just I naturally mimic people. And there's other guys at Bible college, I would copy their accent. And someone said, "Jim, you're going to get yourself beaten up soon." And me and Sophia went to Scotland this year, and we're sitting there, and we thought the Scottish accent was quite funny near Edinburgh. And they're saying, "Any Scots here today?" What was I? Hope Japan win later anyway. So I want to play Japan, not South Africa. And I used to copy, and I used to be oot, oot, oot. And so me and Sophia would start joking, go oot, oot, oot all the time when we're hearing all the Scots. And then we're like, one day we're out there and we're starting to copy the accent, and we're copying them that much that we're sitting on the bus and we're starting to use the accent, and Amy jabs in the wrist, goes, "Jim, do you realize you're surrounded by Scottish people in Edinburgh and one of them could punch you in a minute for taking the mickey out of them?" I'm like, "Amy." The more time I'd spent with them, the more I copied them. The more I realized I was starting to speak. Naomi also has a go at me when I'm with my South African family. She goes, "Jim," she goes, "I hate it when you're with your family." I said, "Why?" She goes, "You suddenly start sounding South African. Because when you're with people, you become like them, don't you? You start speaking like them." And this is challenge, and we're called to become like Jesus. The more we spend with them, the more we become like them, the more we start doing what they do. And then James, it says this. In James 2, chapter verses 14 to 19, it says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Such faith can save them. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Guys, my last... just challenging us, be like Jesus, to become like Jesus, do what Jesus did, is this. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about their boss, and their boss is a Christian. And they said, "But no one in the workplace believes he's a Christian." I was like, "Oh no." Then I was challenged, and I suddenly thought about my family. Do my family believe that I'm a Christian by the way that I live my life? Do my neighbors believe that I am a Christian? Do people around me believe that I'm a Christian? It's all right me saying that I'm a Christian, but if I'm not behaving like I'm a Christian, I'm not remembering I'm following Jesus. I'm his representative here on earth. You know, Jesus lived for something that turned this world upside down. You know, we're designed to live for something that's greater than often we live with. But as a church, I believe we need to rise up as disciples of Jesus. If we don't allow Jesus to change us, if we just talk about a good talk about being Christians but don't do anything about it, we're not going to impact the world around us, are we? We're not going to make a difference around us. We've got to let Jesus completely transform our life. And we don't pray for revival in our church anymore. We're a bit crazy. Do you know what we say? We've just got to make disciples. And we've just got to prepare ourselves as a church to be a holy church that God can use in great ways. And we've just got to get our foundations right. And one of my leaders, I was talking to her last week, and she said this, "Jim," she says, we're praying for holiness, but she says, as a church, if we don't get ourselves ready for what God wants to do, it's just going to end up a massive great mess if he was to bring revival. Does anyone, I don't know if anyone agrees with that. But sometimes we do. We pray for all the great things, but we don't sort our own house in order. We don't get ourselves right. And I just believe as a church that, guys, its simple way of starting off is this. Start off by just spending time with Jesus. There's some of you here today, you probably, as Claire shared it, you probably come to church today and you thought, oh, I'm just a rubbish Christian. Does anyone ever feel that way? I'm just a rubbish Christian. I feel like that all the time, okay? And the thing I do is starting off, the way we start by growing our faith is just spend some time with Jesus. Then allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. But guys, just the word and across churches now is this. Don't let Jesus, don't make him fit around you. Start fitting around him instead. Guys, you know, we've seen great things. Our church is not massive. We're not particularly huge where we are. A great bunch of guys. I love them to pieces. But the funny bit is that it's the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we spend glorifying Jesus, the more time we're trying to spend getting ourselves right with God, the more we've seen God move. The more we've been desperate. And that really stunned me the day. Can I confess something? Is that all right? Are you ready for confession? You're not going to judge me on this? You know, this time last year, even earlier this year, I was seeing amazing words of knowledge. Amazing stuff happen. One example, and I wish it was me, but it wasn't me. It was God, because it only could have been God. I was sitting before our church meeting, and I've had a few words of people being healed, and God has started to speak to me in different parts of my body. Like sometimes it starts a bit of pain, I feel a sensation. I know to pray for somebody. And I had a particular thing about someone's lower vertebrae really being damaged and really specific in our church. And I'm there going, God, I don't know anyone in Bursley Meelan Church that's got lower vertebrae problems. I'm like, this is a bit bonkers what you want me to say. I'm going to look silly up here. But before the church service, has kept growing on me. Whatever you do, share about this back. And I'm there going, God, if I look silly for you, I'll look a plonker. So I walked up there and I've got this way of doing it. Rather than calling people to the front and me looking stupid, I say to them, come find me by yourself afterwards, because then I could pretend that God's answered all the prayers. No, I'm joking. I just said this. I gave the word out. And lo and behold, this woman comes up to us at the end of the service. She's only ever been to our church once. She happened to be working at Alton Towers. She couldn't come during the day to church, but she managed to get to our church that night. She said, I came in rushed and late. She said, I was really, really busy. She said, I thought, oh God, I need to give you a bit of time, but I don't feel like giving you any time. But well, you know all those things that go through your head when you're really busy. And she said, I walked into church, and she said, I wasn't listening to anything you said. And then suddenly you said this. God said there's someone here with lower vertebrae problems. She said, I fell off somewhere doing acting last year. I broke my vertebrae on the back here. The doctors have given me some operations, but they said I'll never truly be healed. And at that moment, she walked into our church, and I happened to say, someone here has got lower vertebrae, back problems. God wants to touch you tonight. I was like, I knew that all along. Yeah. I was confident in Jesus. And guys, I had a few more like that, quite specific things. And then I went through a phase where it didn't feel like that. I wasn't giving out any words. And I'm there going, oh God, I love another word from you. I love another word from you. I really want some more words, God. I really want them. I really want to look spiritual. No. And my wife said to me, Jim, she said, Jesus does say only a foolish generation demands signs and wonders. I'm like, Naomi, shut up. Get behind me, Satan. And and then God challenged me. He said this to me, Jim. He said, when you have words from me, it's because you've been desperate to hear from me. And you've given up time and you've literally been prostrate on the floor just listening and waiting. And I was like, God, I want all the glory but not the hard work. And God said, no, Jim, you need to start digging as well. You need to do the hard work as well as getting the glory. It's not nice Christianity. It's supposed to be easy. My Muslim mate says we've got forgiveness, do whatever we want. It's fine. It's not quite like that, is it? I want to ask you today, and ask us to stand in a minute, but not quite yet. I want you to be honest this morning. Are you truly being a disciple of Jesus? Or are you just a Christian? Are you truly a disciple of Jesus? Or are you just a Christian? Because I think Jesus is bored of Christians, if I'm honest with you. I think he now is saying, come on, Come on, church. It's the time to start being disciples. It's time to start putting him first. Can we stand together? Just want you to close your eyes, if you don't mind. You know, the early church, they didn't have pianos to play nice music or instruments to do stuff. They just waited on the Holy Spirit. And I just believe sometimes there's just power in just waiting on the Holy Spirit. And I want you just to spend a moment. You might have heard this message long before. You might have heard this thing over and over again. You might just be thinking, Jim, you don't know my life, shut up. But hey, God knows it, not me. And I just want you just to close your eyes and just say, where am I a disciple of Jesus? Or am I just a Christian?